We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Podcast. I'm Lindsay. That's Saul. That's Flex. And that is Gerald. We're going to have to go back a little bit, you guys. We're going to talk about last night's game just a little bit. Mm-hmm. One, because we have updates. Mm-hmm. And two, because I think it'll set the stage for the final 10 games of the season. Okay. So even though I took a big, heavy breath at the beginning of the show,
right,
I don't think it's going to be that bad. But who knows? Because we did get this tweet.
Awesome.
We did get this tweet from Amanda Flugrad, sideline reporter for the Phoenix Suns. And she said, Frank Vogel says that both Bradley Beal and Yusuf Nurkic are questionable for tomorrow's game. Both of them did not participate at practice today. On a scale of 1 to 10, how concerned are each of you?
Zero.
Okay.
I'm not concerned at all.
Okay.
No? About the injuries or just life in general?
Listen, guys.
Do I need to narrow this down?
You looked at the game last night. They didn't win. They choked against the Spurs. It was a bad loss. Whether they have Bradley Beal or Yusuf Nurkic, I don't really think it matters, to be honest with you. Yusuf maybe a little bit more than Bradley, but Brad and KD were able to beat the Nuggets. Now it's going to have to be Devin and KD.
Okay. Okay. All right, I like the positivity. Flex, where are you at about these injuries right now on a scale of 1 to 10?
Yeah, I'm pretty similar. Maybe 1, 2. I don't think they're major injuries. If they were, they'd be ruled out for tomorrow. They didn't practice today. I don't expect that. You sprain your ankle and sprain your finger, you're not going to practice 12 hours later. So I think there'll be game time decisions. And if they don't play in this basketball game, I believe Denver's dealing with some stuff. There's reports that Jamal Murray and Aaron Gordon may not play tomorrow. So it is what it is, man. I'm serious. It is what it is. They'll be all right.
I need whatever the two of these guys have
the zen,
going on
the
right
state
now.
Of zen in the
because I am not at a one or two. Or zero.
I don't know if you're familiar with my brand of comedy, but I assure you it's not going to remain this way for the whole show.
I'm at a 7 with this, and it's not because I'm worried that these injuries are going to sideline them for playoffs or anything like that. But like right now, you are trying to get to the playoffs. You're trying to get out of a play-in spot. And, you know, I know that they beat the Nuggets shorthanded very recently.
They might get out of a play-in spot.
They might.
And find themselves not even in the playoffs.
Oh, stop. They're not going to go that low.
There's the swing. There's the swing. You guys want the swing. There's the swing.
Waiting for the shoe to drop. There it is. I think like they beat the Nuggets shorthanded very recently, but I'm pretty sure Denver is well aware of that. And they're going to come out with a different intensity than the last time that these two teams met. And I think, you know, what was the Suns record without Nurk this season? They're 0-4, 0-5.
0-5.
Like, it's not, he's important to their success. Bradley Beal, we've been talking about how he's looked better recently, not last night, obviously, but playing the point guard spot. And just the general thing that we keep going back to, like, you need to build continuity with this group. You need these guys to be available, even through terrible performances like last night. You need to have those guys out there
So not having them out there, that's one more game off the total that these guys have played together. That's concerning to me. And like, we're starting this 10 game stretch. So if this is something that keeps Nurk and or Beal out for 2 to 3 games, that could totally change where you wind up in the standings. So I'm concerned.
I'm with you, Gerald. I'm probably at like a 6. Like you said, not because I'm afraid that they're going to miss games in the playoffs, but because of what this final 10 games means for the rest of the season, both as far as the standings go, but also building the chemistry. Like, they've played, last night was their 30th game together, the big three, mm-hmm. all healthy. I was hopeful we would get to 40 and that they would be healthy the rest of the way through. Mm-hmm. But I guess if you have to deal with an injury late in the season, 10 games before playoff starts is better than when playoff starts.
Yeah.
If we're trying to take a positive approach here.
Sure.
So, I don't know. It's not great. It could be worse. But we'll keep you guys posted on everything we hear. Injury reports can come out in the evening before a game. Mm-hmm. But sometimes if there are injuries, they're trying to, like, decide between, they'll hold off until the morning, too.
Right.
But as soon as we know, we'll share it on social. Or if it comes out while we're here on the show, we'll keep you guys updated as well. So be sure to follow the show on social at PHNX_Suns. All right, guys, let's talk about a little bit about last night's game. We'll go back. It was a tough one. It was not great. What lessons do you think that the Suns can take from that really bad loss and apply to their final 10 games here?
If you get complacent, you're going to lose. Mm-hmm. Straight up. I mean, I will say this, because of all the injuries and the chemistry issues and all this stuff, they don't have the luxury to just kind of coast in games, even when they think they put it away. Like, they went on that run in the third quarter, looked like everything was all good, and then it fell apart before the end of the third quarter. Like, they just don't have the luxury to be able to just cruise. They don't. They're not good enough yet. Like, and so hopefully they learned that lesson last night. They got 10 tough games coming up, and I'm actually more optimistic about this 10 games, because I do agree with, like, Flex in terms of, I do think that they raised their play when they played the tougher teams. Mm-hmm. But again, you just hate to have to learn these lessons against the scrub teams in this league, especially when they're missing their phenomenal best player. Mm-hmm. Like, it's unacceptable.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday was bad. It wasn't a good performance. It was a terrible loss. I think the positive you take out of this, the lesson you learn from this is, if you just do what you're supposed to do and not fall into the same damn traps, you win this basketball game. When I watched the tape, I found 10 plays that were self-inflicted. Mm-hmm. That if you just reverse one of those plays, you win the game. Like, so that's the good part of it, is you know it's self-inflicted and you correct it. The bad thing is the boogeyman keeps popping up. They keep letting the boogeyman come pop up. Mm-hmm. He shouldn't be anywhere around. But for some reason, when they play lower competition with high-level basketball players out, mm-hmm. they just think they can show up and their talent will succeed and outweigh everything. And the other team's going to lay down and play dead. And they're just not. It's the NBA. So the negative is they got to cut that out. But mm-hmm. the positive is they were a lot of self-inflicted things that I think are very correctable.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I struggle with this, because they're obviously not going to be playing a ton of losing teams if they get in the playoff field. Mm-hmm. But we've just seen it too many times where they play with their food, or they don't mm-hmm. take care of an inferior team. Like we mentioned, they've lost to the Spurs 3 times this season. They've lost to the Nets. They've lost to the shorthanded Grizzlies, like the Hawks. There's too many games that you look at this season and like, that's 5 wins right there that I just named off the top of my head that you're not even messing around with the play-in right now if you just take care of business in some of those. And it's frustrating to see it happen this late in the season with all 3 available. Because this is not a team that has the 1 seed or the 2 seed locked up already. They're fighting mm-hmm. for their playoff lives. So that lack of urgency is frustrating. I think they will bring that more often with this gauntlet that they have coming up. But like, the thing that worries me is the turnovers continue to be a problem against a Spurs team that's not a good defense at all. Like, a lot of them, so many of them. And I'm writing about this tomorrow at gophnx.com. breaking down their turnovers this season and what the causes are behind it. But so many of them are just sloppy, careless passes. It's not, you know, two to the ball and we're being blitzed and double teamed and they're throwing all these complex defenses at us. It's dude throws a pass out of bounds 10 feet over his guy's head or tries to make a cross court pass or gets in the lane and tries to feed a perfect, like, bounce pass to Yusuf Nurkić, who's not going to catch it at his knees. Like, it's just unforced errors, and that's the frustrating thing, is these are correctable things. They just continue to make those same mistakes and not correct them.
They're a careless basketball team with quote-unquote tons of potential. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what they are right now. I mean, you can't look at this season and think anything else. Like, they are just, there are times where you just want to pull your hair out. Mm-hmm. You really do. I watched this team, and I was saying earlier today when we had our little meeting, I said, you know, one thing that I really is like my pet peeve is when people waste my time. And when I watch the Suns team, sometimes I'm like, you motherfuckers are wasting my time. Like, why are you not ready to play this game? You know what I mean? And it's super frustrating. I know the fan base feels like that. You just hope that, you know, hey, I will say this. I am kind of glad that these last 10 games are against the best of the best, basically, because I feel like we're really going to find out, like, are they going to be able to lock in before the playoffs, or is this going to be just one of those wasted seasons? You know what I mean? And they don't have a lot of time to waste a season, to be honest with you. They only got maybe one more year after this, so then who knows what's going to happen.
That's the frustrating part, because you could say, oh, hopefully it's a lesson you learned from last night's game, the just lack of mental focus, I suppose. But then you could also say, or maybe like the game before, mm-hmm. or like three games ago, or like 17 games. Like, how many times do we have to play this loop before the lesson is actually learned? I don't know.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll find out.
And all the words that we heard from the guys coming out of practice today through Dwayne Rankin, who's there reporting, were that, like, we hold guys accountable. We were holding them accountable on film today. We had a good spirited film session. Kevin Durant was talking about how it's all about actions, not words, because we keep saying it, but we're not doing it. Bradley Beal has said something similar. So it's like, we got to see it now. We got to see. They're aware of it. They know it's a problem. They're saying all the right things. But until we actually see it in action, it's just going to be words.
Yeah.
That's a little concerning. It's a little concerning that they have vocalized that, like, we need to. It needs to be in effect as opposed to just talking about it, mm-hmm. because that means that they're acknowledging that they have a problem that they're not able to solve right now at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's what's the most concerning for me.
And, like, how far back does that go? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, was this an acknowledgement a month ago, 2 months ago? When did it start is what mm-hmm. I want to know, because I will give them some grace for the beginning of the season through maybe December. Mm-hmm. Maybe middle December.
I say
middle December. I'll give them a little bit of grace, because you were dealing with a lot of injuries that you were not anticipating to have to deal with. But from there till now, when did we decide, hey, maybe we do have an issue that we need to address? And what have you been doing since then? Because that dictates a lot about how I feel. Yeah.
If I had to guess, I'd say it started on Christmas. Mm. That was the first time I heard of closed door meetings and people holding each other accountable and mm-hmm. being fed up a little bit. It was after the Dallas game on Christmas. So, mm-hmm.
That makes me a little bit concerned then.
Yeah, sure.
Because
should be.
How have you had that much time? Where it started at the end of December, right? Mm-hmm. So we're 3 months in now. Mm-hmm. How bad is it that you haven't been able to figure most of it out, or at least come to a good place within 3 months?
Well, I think they need to have another meeting like that then, if that's the case, because after December, they went on that tear where they had like the fourth best record in the league from after Christmas to the All-Star break. And then Brad got hurt again, and it felt like they took a step back in that regard. And since the All-Star break, they haven't looked like that team that they were heading into the break. So hopefully what we're hearing is something that's going to be addressed. But again, we've heard this multiple times this season, so it's hard to put mm-hmm. too much stock in it until we see, like, over this remaining 10 games, them really put it together against high caliber competition.
And honestly, depending on how these next 10 games go, really can swing entirely. Like, you could be the most down in the depths mm-hmm. of despair right now. And if the Suns go 8-2 or 7-3 in these final 10 games, that could swing almost completely to the opposite end of the spectrum. Like it very well could for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Mario Not Bros 2, do you have a copy of my rundown? Because they sent us a super chat and they said, okay, call it now. Suns record these last 10 games. That's exactly where we're headed. Who wants to start?
Well, they're playing, you know, some of the top teams in each conference. And so when I look at that, and there's a stat that I'll bring up later on, but they've been relatively 500 to this point against those teams. Mm. And I think they're going to stay about that. I think they're going to be 5-5 against these teams.
Okay. I don't love that. Gerald, you picked the same thing.
Yeah. I did. I'm going 5-5. They've got a 3-game road trip coming up at Denver, at OKC, at New Orleans, with Beal and Nurk currently questionable for the first of those three. Then they got 4 at home, Cleveland, Minnesota, New Orleans, LA, and then they finish with a 3-game road trip, LA on the second night of a back-to-back, Sacramento and Minnesota. Like, that's a tough stretch. I think if they go 5-5, I would actually not be, I mean, my expectations have been lowered, but like 5-5 at this point for me would be good considering who they're playing.
I mean, this ain't gonna change for me. Before the Philly game, mm-hmm. I said 7-3 in the last 10. So I'm not gonna change based on what happened yesterday. Mm-hmm. Listen, I look at this gauntlet and I say, listen, you're gonna play Denver tomorrow. We don't know what's gonna happen with Brad Beal and Nurk, but mm-hmm. they're also dealing with issues in their lineup, and we don't know what they're gonna do tomorrow. So that could be a complete wash. But I do think I look at Denver. And I look at OKC, and in a lot of ways, I feel like those are the two toughest games in these next 10. Mm-hmm. Because you got Minnesota twice without Karl Anthony Towns, and you got the Pelicans twice without Brandon Ingram, mm-hmm. and then you got the Clippers who are falling off the face of the earth and nobody wants to talk about.
Their mm-hmm. coach called them right? soft, didn't he?
He did.
Right. Yeah. So 6 of those 10 games are against teams that are ahead of you, you can make up ground, and are currently dealing with some stuff. Now, if the Suns can take advantage of that, well, I like their chances of being 7-3. Mm-hmm. You're at home against a Cleveland team that may not have Donovan Mitchell. Like, so this, everyone's dealing with things. This, we got to take it game to game, but I would not be shocked at all if they go 7-3. And I think it starts tomorrow. If they can find a way, they can find a way to split these two between Denver and OKC. I think they give themselves a good path.
I'm rolling with 6-4 for this one because I'm trying to be positive. I think 7-3 might be too much, and 5-5 makes me feel bad. So I went with a happy medium on this one. But also, again, like they've been saying, like we've been saying, if there's a time that you're going to flip that switch and turn it on, it's right now. Mm. It's these final 10 games of the season when you know that there are playoff implications on the line. And you need to get a groove going before the playoffs actually tip off.
Yeah.
Like, it's now or never, really, in my opinion.
We said that last week, too.
I know. But last week, it was lesser competition.
Yeah.
So you could, in theory, if you wanted to play this game, mm-hmm. you could make the argument that it's lesser competition. Sure, it matters just as much. But again, these guys are superstars. They want to play the best of the best. Well, here's your chance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
If you're going to use that as an excuse at all, it's out the door now.
Yeah, I get it. I get what you're saying. But we did say this like 2 weeks ago when they still had the toughest remaining schedule, when they had, you know, 2 games with Boston and Milwaukee coming up and they lost all 3 of those. Like, we keep saying it's go time, it's go time, it's go time. I need to see it be go time.
27 games were left after the All-Star break, mm-hmm. and we were like, okay, you know, they got an opportunity here in the short term to be able to stack some wins, and then they came out and they blew it twice against Houston, mm-hmm. and now they just
once against Houston.
Didn't they lose twice? One in Houston.
It was the second. It was the second time this year.
I thought you were talking about the back to back. They played back to back and they split. But you're talking about before.
They did play 3 times in like a 1 week. Yeah, they lost 2 out of 3. They lost 2 of 3.
Yeah. They played 3 times in 1 week, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
It was like 10 days or so, 8 days.
So again, like they lost that opportunity.
Which they're the hottest team in basketball, by the way.
They lost 2 out of 3 against the San Antonio Spurs, who are not the hottest team in basketball. So, I mean, like, listen, they had their opportunity. If they're in the play-in, then they deserve it. Like, because they had their opportunities and they blew it. We'll see what happens these last 10 games. I hope they can step up their level of play. But you know, I think right now the numbers tell you that they're going to be 500 in these games.
Yeah. Priscilla said, is the Switch even in the room with us, Lindsay? I don't know, Priscilla. Great question. Remains to be seen. We're still trying to find that Switch for the Suns to turn on. We'll see. I don't know. But what I do know is that we are going to have a lot of fun, not this weekend, but next weekend, because we are hosting some watch parties.
There you go.
So no matter what the Suns do, I can promise you on April 5th and April 7th, we will have a great time because we'll all be together hanging out. It is the Tourney Championship Week PHNX Suns watch parties, and you can join us at Gila River Resorts and Casinos Wild Horse Pass for our watch parties, both April 5th, which is a Friday, and April 7th, which is a Sunday. And you can also see the collection from Mike Bibby, a pop-up sneaker shop and lounge as well out there at the casino. So for more information and just to put it in your calendar, head on over to gophnx.com, check out the events tab, and make sure you come hang out with us because it's going to be an absolute blast. Also, if you're looking to make some money off of the Suns, I highly recommend our friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America, and they are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. You know, I absolutely love an easy interface and an easy game to play where you can win some big bucks, especially on the Sun. So instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, all you got to do is pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 players' stats and combo projections and watch the winnings roll in. So it's great because right now you can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. And of course, you can be a part of the action on Prize Picks for both men's and women's college basketball. So don't miss out on your opportunity to win some cash. Go to prizepicks.com/PHNX. Use the code PHNX for a first deposit match up to $100. That is prizepicks.com/PHNX and use code PHNX. Pick more, pick less. It is that easy. Espo won $120 on Saturday.
Yeah.
On Prize Picks.
Nice. That's pretty good.
Literally like that. I mean, granted, Espo's been winning a lot of money when it comes to the Suns lately, but $120 by picking more or less. Not too bad, y'all. You should check it out.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Gerald, you just bought a house.
I did.
Do you have a landscaper? Or do you trim your hedges yourself?
Why do they keep coming to me? Why?
Hey. Why does it have to be me?
Espo's not even on the show. Listen, folks. Listen. Thank you, Espo. We've all been there, especially, us gentlemen, when we're trying to, you know, spruce up the downtown area. It gets a little hairy sometimes. Manscaped is here to help you all out. And listen, they have the blades that won't cut you. You'll be nice and smooth down there. You check it out. Everybody likes a nice groomed area. I'm speaking from experience. And you can also have a nice groomed area as well. So go to Manscaped. This episode is brought to you by the spring cleaning champions, Manscaped. This season, make sure to groom your carpets and the drapes with the leaders in below the waist grooming. Clear out that winter bush with Manscaped Lawnmower 5.0 and watch your confidence bloom like the springtime flowers. Embrace the season and join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our special offer. Go to manscaped.com and use promo code PHNX20 for 20% off of free shipping. Also, listen, if you don't like to, you know, trim the hedges on the ground, you can use it in the shower because it is waterproof and it's fantastic. And I actually prefer doing it in the shower so that way it's not a big mess everywhere. That's probably a little bit too much information for you all. But hey, listen, I'm okay. I'm confident in what I do. So you can be confident in what you do as well. And make sure you go get 20% off and free shipping with the code PHNX20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code PHNX20 at manscaped.com. Manscaped.com. Nothing like a little spring cleaning in your pants.
Chris Stu, thank you so much. They said humor in the ads is our savior from this team. I love it. We appreciate you, Chris. Thank you. And Eli said, Gerald ran right into an Espo trap.
Yeah, you did.
You did. You should have known better.
I knew it as soon as he used that word landscaper, because anything that rhymes with scape now gives me PTSD from Eskimo's ads.
I'm not going to ask Lindsay if she owns her own home.
Right.
I have to ask you. Mm. And my man is out on the east side, and he's finding a home that will be permanent, I'm sure, at some point. So, like, you were the only one that
I get it. I had to be part of the transition. You had to. But why is it always me?
I don't know.
It just is.
It's just easy. It's just easy.
That's fair.
All right, guys, it's time for a little show and tell. So we each have a good and a bad stat about this Suns team that we are going to share with the class. Mm-hmm. Flex, you want to start us off?
Yeah.
All right. You start with the good or the bad?
I'm going to start with the good.
Okay.
I'm going to start with the good. All right. So the Suns are fourth in field goal percentage in the entire NBA and fifth in 3-point percentage in the entire NBA. So what does that tell me? They shoot the ball really well. Mm-hmm. Top in the league in field goal percentage and top of the league in 3-point percentage. But that leads to my bad. You want to throw the bad up there? Here's the bad. They're 26 in 3-point attempts. Mm-hmm. So they shoot the hell out the three, but no one has told them to shoot. You shoot it great, but you don't shoot it enough. And so this is simple things that I think lead to focus and execution. You can't be that good at shooting the ball and not shoot the ball. Mm-hmm. And if they correct those things, G, then get that number up to about 38-40.
Yeah.
Makes a world of difference. And the last thing I'll say on this point is I believe their record is now 7-1 when they actually shoot 43s because they're very good at it. Mm-hmm. So shoot more threes, sons.
Mm. Yeah. Simple as that.
I actually have one that's kind of similar.
Okay, you go next.
Well, listen, in the spirit of optimism, let's go with the good. The Suns are shooting 41% from three against the top four teams in each conference, averaging 30 attempts per game. That's pretty good. Yeah. Hey, I'm cool with that. However, the Suns are 6-7 against those teams, and in those losses are being outshot from three by 10%, 35% to 45%. Like, the other teams are getting up more, and they're hitting more. Like, that's not good. So, listen, you got to improve. And as Flex said, you got to get more shots up from three. Like, I don't understand this fascination with the mid-range. Not now. Not today. Mm-hmm. Not if you want to win a championship. You better start jacking them up.
Especially when you're shooting so well from deep, too. Like, fourth and from in field goal percentage, right? Fifth and three-point percentage in the league. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like you're just jacking up threes to jack up threes. You're shooting well, so there should be no reason not to up your volume of attempts.
And it's crazy because the average attempts for those other teams is somewhere around the 38 to 40 range. Mm-hmm. The average attempts for us in that 13-game stretch is like 29.9. Oh, they barely get 30 attempts per game against the best teams in the league. Like, you got to get up more. Like, it's just, it's unacceptable, and it's almost just pure negligence at this point. Like, you got to get them up. You got to get them up.
Great word, negligence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you attribute it to?
Kevin Young. Sorry. My bad. My bad. That was a straight KY. My bad.
He just came out high.
I mean, listen, man, somebody's got to tell them. I'm sure they talk about it. Mm. And I'm sure they're emphasizing it. But, like, listen, man, you got to get them up. You got to get them up. I think they've been so conditioned. Listen, Devin Booker's played a specific way his whole life. Mm. And for him to just switch over to being a more dominant three-point shooter, that's going to take time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
KD has not been a volume three-point shooter as well, but he can shoot the three. Mm-hmm. And he can shoot it at a high clip. It's just, again, training them. And I feel like they've caught themselves in a moment where they realize, like, the league has transitioned so greatly to the three-point line that maybe it caught them a little bit off guard because of the prior success they've had the last two or three years. Mm-hmm. And now they're having to almost retrain their brains mid-season to jack up more threes because they're not really – that's just not the way they've played their whole life. They've taken the smart shot. They've taken the best shot that they can get. And unfortunately, in these instances, unless you shoot 60% from that mid-range – the other teams are going to beat you.
Mm-hmm. And that's go ahead.
No, I just want to add a point to that because you went directly at Kevin Young. I thought that was funny. But no.
I have no idea. I just threw a statement out there.
I will say this. If I had to pinpoint why they're not shooting enough threes, I think they're getting bamboozled a little bit. I really do. I mean that by yesterday's film showed me something. Pop made an adjustment, and Pop gave them this false sense of hope that they can run the offense through Nurk. And it's almost like defenses are starting to trick them into the mid-range. We'll give you that. Look at that nice little sweet spot, book. Take that. That's what you do. Hey, KD, same thing. You go there. We're not going to press that too much. We're going to let you in, invite it. Mm-hmm. And you're going to hit a couple, and you're going to feel good about continuing to invite it. But in the long run, I'm stopping you from getting in three-point attempts, and I'm going to put up more, and that's how I'm going to beat you. I do feel like when I look at the tape, they're being tricked a little bit. I saw Greg Popovich do that with the 7 seconds or less Suns. Amari averaged 40 for the series, and everybody was running around saying, what a great series Amari had. And little to do they know, they were bamboozled. Pop said, let Amari dunk everything. Quinn Richardson ain't taking 700 threes. Nash ain't taking all them threes. Sean Marion. So I feel like, to answer the question, they're going to have to get out of getting enticed into the mid-range and say, no, we're not getting bamboozled anymore, man. We know we got to put up more threes. And so that's just my view on it from looking at tape.
Yeah. I can't help but think of, what's his name, Big Time? On
LA Radio?
No. On He Got Game. He was like, yeah, he'd be calling me, come on in, Jesus. Like, that's, he was talking about something different, but yeah, you know, yeah, it's like, that is,
but it is, it's that enticing. Like,
oh,
yeah,
yeah, yeah, I'm going to go in there and shoot that mid-range. Right there, yeah,
and that's what NBA defenses are going to do now, too. And it's a product of the way that they play, because all three of these guys are used to, if I have a mismatch, I'm going to attack that because that's a good play for me and for our team. But it feels like there does need to be a little bit more of a firm hand when it comes to, no, like we need to, because when they run sets, when they run their actions, like they're impossible to stop when the ball is moving, when it's swinging, that's when they're generating the threes. You're not generating a ton of threes out of ISO or, you know, KD on the block, unless there's a shooter one pass away ready for that double team. Like, the ball is not moving ideally in those circumstances. So I think that'll help them when we transition to playoff ball and you need to hunt for those pigeons in the playoffs. But like right now, this is not a team that's built for regular season success, because they're not getting, it's just the simple math of it, you're not getting up enough threes despite being a really good shooting team. And they take some of the toughest shots in basketball and are still, to your stat, one of the best shooting teams from the floor and from three. So imagine if they just start generating more open looks, how unstoppable that offense is going
to
be.
Yeah.
And to your point too, of last night, you guys brought up how when you look at Grayson Allen and Eric Gordon and how many attempts they're getting and how many points they have at the end of the game is a little bit indicative of how well the ball has moving and the flow of Suns basketball.
Yeah.
And we didn't get to see too much from them last night at all. And then to that point, there was somewhere I was going with that. Oh, I would love to know the stats. I'm going to look this up after the show and see if we can find it. I would love to know the stats of how, like, what is the threshold of threes attempted by EG or Grayson? Maybe you could put Royce O'Neal in there, but you'd have to kind of separate it out from once he joined the team and like the amount of attempts the Suns have had and wins.
Gotcha.
Like, I would love to have a barometer of those two guys specifically and how much of a difference that makes.
I got a quick, because you follow the stuff closely. We talk about the Suns' turnovers, and a lot of times they could be attributed to overpassing, correct?
Yeah.
Another thing that I noticed when I watched the tape is that, to my point, I think they're getting baited into the mid-range a little bit. And I think that there's times that they realize it. And that's where the overpassing comes.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, because how many times this week did we see Brad Beal 2 feet from the basket? He should just take a layup. Instead, he tries to force that a pass somewhere else. And it's almost like something in their head says, y'all are falling into it again. Don't do it. And then that turnover comes. Yep. So this is why I'm screaming inside, like, this is so fixable, guys. Like, they're not as far as it looks, but they got to get out their own way, and they just have to figure some things out.
Yeah, and one of those things they got to figure out is taking care of the ball a little bit more. So I'm going to start with the bad stat.
Sure.
The Suns are 25th in turnovers right now this season, averaging 14.9 per game. But on a kind of good note, on my good stat, the Suns have a 20 and 12 record when committing less than 14 turnovers this season. So they're 25th in turnovers at 14.9. Mm-hmm. But if you just limit it by like 1.5, 2, you're middle of the pack now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're not asking for much, is what we're saying here.
One or two players.
That small margin can make a world of difference. So just one or two less.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
It's one or two bonehead plays a game.
Right. It's the focus.
It's different.
Yeah.
The difference between ordinary and extraordinary. Mm-hmm. Just that little extra.
Yep. There you
They're extraordinarily awful when it comes to turning the ball over. So how about we stop?
It's a thin line. No, Linz, I mean, we were talking a little pregame, and when I saw the angle you were going, I loved it because it's something past couple of days I've been looking at. I'm like, just the other day, right, they went to 14.9 after yesterday. Mm-hmm. But going into yesterday, we're at 14.1. And I'm sitting here, and I'm like, man, if you just go to – I know it's a lot, but if you go to 12-1, just two turnovers, it puts you in the top 8 in the NBA. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's just one or two plays. Lindsey's right. It's just, if you could turn that 14-13, I wonder what their record would be. You said they're 20-12 when they have 14 or less?
Less than 14.
When 13 or less, yeah.
Yeah, so 13 or less. Less than 14.
13 or less, 20-12. Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean... Yeah, I wonder. Yeah, it's like yesterday. Did it have 15?
Yes,
they had 15 yesterday. Honest question. Mm. Is it fair to say that if you had 14 turnovers yesterday, you win that game?
Or if you have the potential? Yeah,
it's a 2-point game. On the last possession.
Yeah,
and one turnover. That turnover we're talking about probably led to a basket on the other end. Mm-hmm.
They gave up like 17 or 19 points off turnovers.
There was one particular where they got a turnover. Mm. Brad got a steal. Mm. And then was on a break with KD 2-on-1 and gave it right back up.
Yep.
Right? That play right there. If they just finished that, two of the best players in the world.
Yep.
Finish that turnover. Maybe you don't lose yesterday, but hey, whatever.
Maybe. Yeah. Gerald, what you got, good and bad?
All right. So mine is going back to continuity and reps because that's my thing this year. let's start with the good stat. So the good stat is that the Suns starting five has a plus 8.2 net rating, and that is seventh in the NBA among all five-man lineups that have played at least 350 minutes together this season. So when the Suns starting five has been on the court, they've been really good. They've been one of the best five-man groups in the NBA. Unfortunately, as we will see with the bad stat, of the 200 three-man lineups that have played at least 600 minutes together, the Suns' big three rank 70th in net rating, 182nd in minutes played together, and 198th in games played together. So I narrowed it down to 600 minutes for those three-man lineups because I wanted to see, okay, this is the Suns are at like 600 and some with their big three on the court. So where do they rank in net rating? Well, they're not great. They're good, but they're not great. Where do they rank in time spent together? Damn near the bottom of the pack.
Which is why
that is the biggest thing for me. Like, I know that this team should be better. Two things can be true at once. This team shouldn't have lost so many games when they only had two of the big three available. Like, there were games that they lost that we were like, it doesn't matter that Bradley Beal was out or that Devin Booker was out. They should have won that game. But at the same time, their fundamental problem is that they haven't had their guys available. Like, and we knew that this could be an issue. We knew that's why I kept saying from the start of the season, we need like 60 games of these dudes together, at least for me to feel confident about them. We've gotten 31 games of it. Like, it's just, it's not enough. And you're going to struggle against the Denver Nuggets of the world or even, you know, the Minnesota Timberwolves or Oklahoma City Thunders who have been together for the last season or two. That is a tough thing to overcome.
I disagree. Mm-hmm. High school basketball season's 32 games long. They should be able to figure it out.
They've had a whole high school basketball season together. Basketball
get it season. Together, come on, man.
What are we doing with our lives?
25-6. That's not much to ask.
Oh, shout out Marcus DeRozan. Goodness. Well, Gerald, that's sad.
It is. It's sad true, because though. Despite all of that, if they just take off 1 to 2 bad turnovers per night, and if they just get up threes, like, they can overcome all of that stuff. Because they're 26-7 when they tie or win the 3-point battle in terms of threes made. 26-7 when they lose the 3-point battle, they're 16-23. Like, just you just have to tie your opponent and made threes to give yourself a chance, and you can win those games.
You know what stressed me out about this exercise was that we were all, everyone was doing their research, and mm-hmm. I'm sitting here and I'm going through a ton of stats. Mm-hmm. And God, the Sun stats are not bad. Mm-hmm. Like, they're good in so many major categories. They're like top 10 in a whole bunch of shit that tells you that's a championship team. Mm-hmm. But yet the end result, the loss column ain't making sense. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't have enough time. I was chopping up, true transparency, Lindsay cut me off. She doesn't know this. No. I'm keeping it real. It wasn't a bad thing. I was in the middle of looking at something, and then Lindsay asked a question. The point I was trying to make, I was looking at games that the Suns lost five or less. Mm-hmm. And I was only like maybe two-thirds of the season through, and I was at 12. I didn't even finish counting. But I'm sitting here, and I'm like, that's two possessions, man. They lost 12. There's more. I'm sure of it. I didn't finish counting.
Right.
But I got to 12, and I'm looking at the games, and I'm like, damn, man. Like, if you just – let's say the number's 15, and you just curved – let's say you stole five of those. Where are you? You're like a whole different situation. You're like third in the West.
Yeah.
That shit is insane to me.
I know we're looking at the entirety of these games, right? Because we didn't single out any quarters, but I should have done this. I should have looked at their fourth quarter efficiency.
No, you don't want to.
Because, like, for all the great things that the Suns are, you know, on paper and statistically, the fourth quarter is quite the opposite of all of those categories, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's been their demise. Mm-hmm. That has been their demise this season. Like, even with the turnovers, even with the threes, like, in the fourth quarter, if they could just figure their shit out, they'd probably win a majority of these games. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, they go to defunct mode and just... they forget. It's like the fucking, there's a glitch in their head or something.
Mm-hmm. It's the boogeyman.
The fact that they are 12 games above 500, despite being arguably the worst fourth quarter team since they started tracking those stats.
In the history of basketball.
Is crazy. And I think it also speaks to, you're hoping that because they've been up by double figures in some of these games that they go into the fourth, that it's just a product of, like, the first Spurs game was they were up by 25-30. And so they lost the fourth quarter, so that hurts your net rating. But, like, the game was over. Mm-hmm. They've had several of those, but you're right. There have been too many games, especially early in the season, where they were up, and then they just let it slip away.
Yeah.
And you cannot do that at all if you have a lead in a playoff game, like, going into the fourth.
Yeah,
it's imperative. Absolutely.
You get to the playoffs. And listen, if they're in the play-in or they're in that 3-6 range, like... that first game, when they hit that fourth quarter, there's going to be a lot of tightness around here. There's going to be a lot of anxiety.
Yeah. Yes.
And you just know that they're going to be thinking about that. And so they're going to have a game. Listen, if there's nothing else that comes out of these next 10 games, they have to have a game where they rise up and overcome in that fourth quarter and prove everybody wrong, just so that way they can prove to themselves that they can do it.
Mm-hmm. But I think that's the bigger thing is, like, even though I think this team is confident, just in general, I do think there is something to be said about having an extra boost of confidence, knowing that you can do it. Because have we seen that at all this year? Like a big fourth quarter?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
When they're down. That's what I was just about to ask you. So how much of that is between the ears? Because it's like they have these fourth quarter collapses when they're playing well and they just let the game go. But I've seen plenty of examples where they're going into a fourth quarter down and they make a big run and they come back.
We had a big fourth quarter that was dominant with
Sacramento,
outside
Chicago,
of that.
Milwaukee the other night.
OKC made a run.
I'm having short-term memories just blocked out all the good parts.
It's hard to figure this team out. And it goes between the ears. It's some type of psychological glitch that they just have to get through, because I know they can do it. Like, I know they're good enough to do it. It's just a matter of actually getting the damn thing done. And then I do hope this, in the playoffs, you shorten the rotations, the minutes change. You may get lineups in the fourth quarter that you would never dare play in a regular season because you don't want to burn somebody out. but you probably get that, and maybe that helps in the fourth quarter. I don't know. But
I will say we haven't had like a disastrous fourth quarter where we looked at a game and said that's the reason they lost in a while, which is good.
Yeah.
And I think part of that comes with being able to iron out the bench rotation a little bit more because mm-hmm. for especially in the early portion of the season, you were just trying to figure out who the hell you could throw out yeah. there and mm-hmm. who was going to be on right. the trade block for you know, the first 2-3 months.
Right.
Now I think there's a little bit more continuity there than we've had, but it's one of those things that you could easily see pop up again and be like, damn it. We hadn't heard from that Achilles heel in a while.
Yeah.
I don't know. All I know is for these final 10 games, make sure you've got your inner circle, your support system, if you will. And if you don't have them, we are that for you guys. We're happy to be that for you guys. And so are our friends over at Circle K with their new Inner Circle. It is a free membership program where you can save 25 cents per gallon on your first 5 fill-ups. You save 3 cents per gallon every day. Once you reach a VVIP like Sol and Espo status, you can up that to 5 cents per gallon that you save on gas at VVIP? Circle K. A very, very important person.
Oh.
It's like double.
Never heard them.
All right.
Yeah, exactly. You see, now you're VVIP. You've made it.
All right.
You've reached the pinnacle. Go you, Saul. You also get. I didn't mean that as condescending as it sounded.
It sounded
I'm
very
sorry.
Awesome.
I'm sorry. I did not mean
good
that.
Good job, Saul.
You also get every 6 free on a selection of Circle K products like pizza, coffee, and ice cold fountain drinks. And of course, it's super simple. You got the app on your phone. It tells you sometimes there's coupons in there. Often, if there's promos going on, specialty promos, you get hooked up when you are part of the Inner Circle. So join Inner Circle for free by downloading the Circle K app today. Terms and conditions apply. At participating locations, visit CircleK.com for details.
I won't be here tomorrow.
Okay.
Just so you know.
Are you going to fill up on gas and
no,
snacks?
No, because I plan on winning this fucking money tonight in the Arizona lottery. Oh. If I, listen, folks.
You better
If you don't see me tomorrow,
if you win, I need
it's
one.
Because I'm in LA covering U of A. But outside of that, if I don't show up to LA, you know why. There you go.
I'm just saying, Saul. If you win, I just need one mil.
No, y'all ain't gonna
okay?
see me.
I just
ever
need
again.
One mil. That's all I'm asking for.
Just some mil.
You can get your lottery tickets at Circle K, or if you want to play in a different way, the Arizona Lottery is introducing a new, unique ticket promotion called Arizona Adventures, and there are 3 ways to play and win big. So first and foremost, you play Arizona Adventure lottery tickets featuring 3 iconic landscapes. Now we're talking Picacho Peak, Monument Valley, and Camelback Mountain. And those tickets have prizes up to $50,000. You can also check in at geolocated adventures at 10 destinations across the state from Flagstaff to Yuma. It's super easy. Just go to azadventures.com for details and directions on how to check in at destination coordinates on the website. Or if you don't really want to get outdoors as much, you can enter tickets online for a chance to win $1 million in cash and Arizona travel prizes. The Arizona Lottery is not just about playing games and winning prizes. It's also about giving back to the state and its community. So visit azadventures.com for more information on how you can take an adventure for a chance to win $1 million in cash and Arizona travel prizes. All right, let's do a couple of super chats here.
Okay.
We've got 2 from Psycho Blue. Saul, you want to take these ones?
Sure. Basketball Cthulhu understands these things take time. At least continuity is being built. I'm thinking 48 and 34 for the season. 2014 vibes. Ooh, that's not good.
I hope not. That team missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
They exceeded expectations.
Most wins at the time, most wins ever to miss the playoffs.
And then the next one is the curse of Cthulhu is real. Between Washington, Portland, Detroit, and Golden State, everyone from last year's team has turned their new squads to great mighty poo.
So, is the curse of Cthulhu just a Suns thing? That it? Are we the only ones that have to deal with this?
Based on 56 years of experience, I would say, yeah.
Yeah? I need to know who caused this.
Like, who upset Cthulhu in the first place?
Who made us have the curse?
It's a good question.
Colton sent us one with the salute emoji. Thank you, Colton. Appreciate you being here. And then Black Mason sent us one as well. And they said, who in the world made this schedule? This has got to be the hardest last 10 games in the history of the NBA. Thank you for all your dedication.
Appreciate you.
I mean, it's not an easy last 10 games.
That's true.
Man.
You're not wrong. It is a tough 10 games.
I actually like it, man. I just feel like having control of your own destiny at this time is always preferred. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be the team that's got to win game 10 and then hope two other teams lose.
Yeah.
Like, you really have it in front of you. If you could just win some of these games, you can chop down some trees yourself. So I like it. I'm not that I'm optimistic about it.
I like it in the sense that it'll give us a real, like, up close look at what this team, and we pretty much know what this team is already, but like right before the playoffs, we're going to have a real good idea of what to expect. Mm-hmm. Cause right now I think we're vacillating between, oh wow, look at this team, look how good they look. And then it's, oh God, we lost to the Spurs for the third time.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
All right, guys, this segment is brought to you by Eric Ruby behind the mat.
Hey,
we're going to play a little trivia here. To have some fun on this Tuesday afternoon. Eric, what have you prepared for us?
I looked at stats basically from just this season alone, so we're not going to dig too deep. I'm a little worried that some of them are too easy for you, so we'll start with one that I think is relatively easy, but don't let me down, guys, okay? Question number one. How many games has one of a non-Big Three member or Grayson Allen led the Suns in scoring? So, first question is, how many games has that even happened? And question number two is, can you name who did it?
I am going to say three times. And okay. Two of them were Grayson. One of them was Nurk.
No Grayson Allen.
Yeah.
Not Grayson. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay, then one. Nurk.
One Nurk, yeah. I feel like that might be it.
Hold on.
Maybe twice? I'm trying to think of
I'm going to say EG.
EG and Nurk. We're going to go two EG and Nurk. Okay.
I'm just going Nurk.
I'll ride with Flex.
The answer is, happened two times. Once was December 1st. Jusuf Nurkić put 31 points on Nikola Jokic's head in Denver. And the second time was January 29th against Miami. Eric Gordon scored a team-high 23 points. So you guys got that. Well, Flex got that right. Saul, you were the only one who held out. I'm sorry. Here's question number two, though. Saul, you can go first. It's just a this or that. Who has taken more total shots this season? Jusuf Nurkić or Grayson Allen?
Oh, Jusuf.
Yeah. I'm a roll with Nurk on that one. I feel like it's a trick question.
It's tough.
But I wouldn't. My inclination is to lean Nurk, but I feel like it's a trick question.
Think about
to
how
be
many times at the rim Nurk has missed a layup and got
right,
his own
exactly.
rebound. That's his shot attempt each time.
Yeah. I'm going with Grayson.
I feel like there's it's a times, trick question. I kind of want to say it's Grayson.
There's been
now.
Times when Grayson has like two shots.
I know. Like but he's, then there are times where he has like 17.
He's going to shoot. He's a plus 350 threes alone. Mm. I know that.
Mm.
I was looking at it the other day. Mm. He's creeping up on 400 threes alone. Yeah. That's not counting the rest of his shots. Yeah, I'm going with my man Grayson. He takes more shots than Nurk, I think.
Yeah, I'll go Grayson, but I think it might be close.
It's actually extremely close. They're only separated by two shots. Oh, 582 shots to 580. Grayson Allen takes it over Jusuf Nurkić. All right.
Fuck you, Eric.
Fair enough. It was a toss-up. All right, guys. Question number three. The Suns have won 42 games this year. It seems like less, but they have won 42 games. How many of those wins have been by double digits, and how many of those wins have been by 20 or more points?
Oh, my goodness.
Hold on. 42. So I say out of the 42... Double digit.
I feel like
16.
Yeah, I was going to say somewhere in 15 range.
I'm going to say 12.
That's what I was thinking, 12. It was the first set, but I don't want to copy you, so I'll go 13.
And then by 20, I'd say 5.
I would say 6. So I say 12 and 6.
I'm going to go 13 and 9.
I'm saying 16 and 5.
Okay, I'm gonna say 20 by double digits, and then I'm gonna say
20. Okay.
And then I'm gonna say 9 by 20 or more.
Okay.
You guys might be surprised by this. 24 of the Suns' 42 wins have been by double digits. I believe Flex nailed the 20 or more. It was 5 wins by 20 or more. So
it had 22 double-digit wins?
24.
Wow.
Okay.
Not as bad as we think, right? Mm-hmm. This is crazy.
Are we going to end up in, like, revision? You know when you're too close to it that you can't...
Yeah.
You can't take a step back and look at the big picture. No. Are we going to end up having that moment?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm just making
in
sure.
The moment, this is exactly how it feels.
Like, is it as bad as we think?
I think how it finishes will make us. I think if they make a run to the Western Conference Finals and compete and, you know, get knocked out, I think we can look back and be like, damn, you know, maybe we were a little too harsh in the regular season. They weren't as bad as they were.
It's either that or this is going to be the most complex team of all time.
Yeah.
If they get bounced in like the play-in or the first round, you'll look back and you're like, dude, the numbers tell you it should not have gone like this.
Yeah. You're right.
Speaking of numbers, here's the last one. This is by far the weirdest one, so bear with me. Out of these four players, who has the most total steals this season for the Suns? Bol Bol, Nasir Little, Sabin Lee, or Chimezie Metu?
I'm riding with Bol. Come on. Give me Bol Bol all day.
Oh, man.
I might go Bol just by default, but...
Man, this is going to sound really...
I'm going Nas Little.
I mean, he did play quite a bit at the beginning of the season, Bol didn't.
Yeah.
So they kind of reversed.
That's true.
I hope it ain't my boy with the beautiful jumper. No way.
I feel like
no
it's going to be someone random.
I'm a ride with Bol.
I'm going with
Nasir.
Why not? It's Chimezie.
Yeah. It probably is.
I'm Who going Nasir, though.
Well, you guys will be sad to know that Bol Bol is actually in last place out of all those players. Bol Bol, this is why I picked this stat, has only recorded 6 steals for this entire season. Sabin Lee has 7. 7 steals for Sabin Lee. In third place is Nasir Little at 10, leading the way by far. Chimezie Metu, 19 steals.
Lapping the competition.
We got Chimezie the glove, yo. This dude was out here straight up robbing people.
19 whole steals. It was probably because early in the season he played more than any of those three, I would imagine.
That's right, yeah.
That's good for Chimezie.
I should have known that because this guy, too,
he's a trickster.
That was a question for your guy, too.
I know, it's my guy. Actually, he's probably pissed off at me. Like, what are you doing?
I'm disappointed in you.
I got magical hands.
That's hilarious. Is that the last one? That was super fun. Thank you, Eric, for putting together a little Suns trivia for us. Cheers to you, but make sure you're cheersing with our friends over at Michelob Ultra. Take some time to enjoy life. Happiness is essential to living an exceptional life, and Michelob Ultra offers an exceptional taste. It's refreshing and balanced flavor, and it's only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. You know, we love that. And Michelob Ultra also has an organic seltzer essential collection. Now, these are made with coconut water and real fruit juice, so you know it's always going to have a refreshing and superior taste. And these are still only 90 calories, and they have 0 added sugar. So no matter what you're kind of looking for or in the mood for, Michelob Ultra has your back. And they also want to hook you up with some exclusive NBA prizes. So head on over to MichelobUltra.com to find how you can win superior NBA prizes and to find a Michelob Ultra near you. It's only worth it if you enjoy it, and we ask that you enjoy responsibly. Sorry, guys. I'm running out of voice here. But I told you guys at the top of the show that we're going to have some watch parties out at Gila River Resorts and Casinos on April 5th and April 7th. Gila River Resorts and Casinos, no one does it better. It is a fantastic experience, whether you are there to, you know, play on one of the over 800 slot machines or the 15 blackjack tables and live table games that they have, or if you want to take in the largest casino sportsbook in Arizona, grab some food, go check out a show, hang out with PHNX Suns, have a watch party. No one does it better than Gila River Resorts and Casinos. And if you want to check out more, you can head to Gila River Resorts and Casinos and visit playatgila.com for more details.
The cool thing about this next week, and you know, Lindsay had mentioned it earlier, is that it's the collective is what it's called. The Collective by Mike Bibby. Mm-hmm. And his entire shoe collection will be there. It's the whole Top Golf space has been redesigned for this one weekend. It's going to be a lot of cool stuff. And rumor has it, some Suns players are going to show up too.
Ooh.
So if you come to the watch party, maybe you're going to run into some Suns players, which would be really cool. And then on top of that, there's a bunch of concerts going on next door. So maybe Ice Cube will pop in or something.
There you go.
So come out Friday and Sunday to Gila River out of Wild Horse Pass.
I'm struggle bussing right now, y'all.
You okay?
Yep, but let's round out the show looking at the Western Conference standings and games to watch tonight.
Mm-hmm. So we got the Suns flipped to eighth, obviously, with the loss to the Spurs there. They are half a game back from Dallas and Sacramento in that 7-6 spot. They are still 2.5 up on the Lakers, but I think they're only 2 up on the win column on LA now. And they're still 5 up on the Warriors. So they're not going to fall out of, I don't think they're going to fall out of the top eight, but with this 10 game stretch coming up, they got to put in some work here.
Yeah. You got to at least go 4-6 in this last 10.
Mm-hmm. Like, man,
I know that's, I mean, that's asking. That's not asking a lot. 4-6 should happen.
Yeah.
With this team. So, but if you find yourself in that 2-3 range, you might end up looking at that 9-10 spot all of a sudden, especially if the Lakers can find a way to win some of these games down the stretch. Mm-hmm. So
that would be disastrous if they fell out of the top eight. Like, just being in the play-in is bad enough. But
if they go 4-6, like Saul just said, they're a playing team.
Yeah.
They're 100% playing team.
Right.
I think 5-5, I honestly still think just playing 500 ball, they'll still be a playing team. Mm-hmm. I think 6-4 minimum is what they need to potentially be at 6. That's minimum.
And that's hoping. Right.
And you got to beat the Kings.
That's exactly. You need the Kings and the Mavericks, these two games, to go perfectly. Mm-hmm. In your favor. And so that's why I'm saying 7-3 is where you want to be. You got to get to that sixth spot. And at the very least, here's another thing that people need to understand. Like, the 7-8 thing is tricky. But it's more tricky if you're 8. Like, if you tell, if you're 7, at least you're guaranteed 2 home games to win 1. Mm-hmm. But if you're 8, you lose that 7-8 game, you're gonna, you know...
You might mess around.
You'll be home for that game, but you mess around and run into LeBron or Steph. We might be going to Puerto Rico early this year. Me, I'm saying.
I might be.
I'm like, what?
Oh, road trip. All right, guys. Well, thank you all for hanging out with us. Brent, hilarious moment in the chat, said Lindsay chokes on her words more than Bol Bol gets steals, and then followed up and said, as soon as I made that joke, I started coughing out of nowhere. Instant karma, bro. Hilarious. All right, well, thank you guys for hanging out with me. Sorry about the coughing fit. I'm working on it. I'm trying to get it all out, but there's still a little bit lingering from that one time that I died like 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Not even 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
This show's over.
All year.
His show is over.
Yo, this was fun.
This was a good show.
It felt like this was fun.
We appreciate you all for being here. Hit that thumbs up button on your way out if you are watching on YouTube. If you are listening wherever you get your podcast, rate, review, and subscribe. We appreciate it a lot. And until we see you tomorrow with our pregame and postgame show, be sure to give the show a follow on social at PHNX_Suns. You can also follow me at LindsaySmithAZ. You can follow Saul at Saul_Bookman. You can follow Flex at Flex from Jersey, and you can follow Gerald at Gerald Bourget. Anybody?
I'll take it.
Go ahead.
Listen, I know we're all frustrated, and you know things will get better. They will eventually. And if you don't believe so, you can watch my Wildcats tomorrow in the Sweet 16 on Thursday.
Man.
Let's go, Bear Down.
This is what we did, Gerald.